This morning, God's word comes to us from the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 36. We are going to begin reading at verse 16 in this chapter and then read through the end of chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 16, what we hear now is God's word. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name, in that people said of them, "These are the people of the Lord," and yet they had to go out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations, and gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your forefathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. And I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, because the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. And the land that was desolate shall be tilled, instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who passed by. And then they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like the flock, like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, once again, I direct your attention to the back of the Psalter hymnal, this time to page 33 in the back section. We have read some of our liturgical forms this morning. Now we turn to one of the confessions of our church, the Heidelberg Catechism. And this morning we will read Lord's Days 26 and 27. I will read the questions. You may respond with the answers. From page 33 in the back of the Psalter. How does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? Where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? Should infants, too, be baptized?
Yes. Infants as well as
Well, today, in God's good providence, we are not only up to the section of the Catechism dealing with baptism, but we, this morning, got to witness a baptism, the baptism of one of our covenant children. It is a time to celebrate, God's goodness and God's faithfulness. It is a time that the parents celebrate, the grandparents celebrate, the family of God celebrates, as once again we're reminded that this child, too, is received into the Christian church. What a blessing. What a joy to stand at the baptismal font and as that water is placed in the child to be reminded that our sins are washed away in Jesus Christ. It is a sacrament. It is a sign and a seal. And as such, in a sacrament, the language that we use speaks of the reality of the promise. Sometimes people have challenged baptism and saying that we make too much of baptism, as if the baptism itself washes away the sins. That was a significant enough question that it was included in the Catechism. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away our sins? And of course, children, even you know that couldn't be the case. The outward washing with water cannot wash away sins, but it is a sign, it is a seal of a reality, of a real promise that God surely will wash away sins. The language that we use in the sacraments is language that speaks of a reality. It is symbolic, but it speaks of that which is real. God does the same thing in Ezekiel chapter 36. When he says through the prophet what he will do for Israel, he says in verse 24, I will take you from the nations and gather you from the countries and bring you into your own land, and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness. Now, children, do you think God really was going to sprinkle clean water on Israel? It was a picture. It was picturesque language. It was sacramental language, talking about the external sign, but also an internal reality. It is language that is symbolic, but language that is truly real. And we do the same thing today. As we come to the baptism font, and we see the water, and I showed the water to Sage this morning, and children, it's just regular water. It's just real water. We don't have a special jar that we keep it in. We don't get it from a special faucet anywhere. It's regular, real water. And the bowl that we use, while it's decorative, but it's just a regular bowl. There's nothing particular about it. It's regular water. It's a regular bowl. But it's set apart for a special purpose. Set apart to remind us of the promises of God that are sealed to us when we baptize someone into the covenant. The visible is symbolic, but the promise is absolutely real. The promise that just as surely as water washes away dirt from our bodies, so we are washed with the blood and spirit of Christ. That visible and invisible is connected in the catechism together. We read in question 69, how does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ sacrifices for you personally? As surely as the water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurities, in other words, all my sins. Kids, just as surely as when you go to the faucet and you put your hands underneath and you wash those hands and the dirt is washed away, just as surely as you see that dirt going down the sink, so surely are we promised and assured that in baptism our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ and they are buried with Him. The picture is symbolic. The language is symbolic. Baptism is a sign, but it is a totally reliable sign of an absolute reality that God washes us from our sins. God spoke to Israel in Ezekiel 36 and reminded them of their defilement. In verse 16 through 21, he talks about their uncleanness. He says, so I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood which they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations. They were dispersed through the countries. I judged them, God says. I judge them for their sins. And as we come to baptism, that's what we're reminded of. That as beautiful and wonderful as Caleb is, he comes to the baptismal font as a sinner, as someone who stands in need of the cleansing of God, as does everyone who comes to the font. That we don't come and say, look how good we are, look how perfect my child is. No, we come recognizing the reality that even our children stand under the condemnation of sin. That's why the question 74, should infants be baptized? Infants as well as adults are in God's covenant and are His people. They know less than adults are promised the forgiveness of sins through Christ's blood and spirit. They too share in the blessings, in the promises, but also in the sin. Our children need a washing. A washing that only God can accomplish. That's what God said to the people in Ezekiel 36. He said that they stood under His condemnation. And there was a washing that for His sake they would undergo. Verse 22, "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes." God says, I'm going to come, and I'm going to act, and I'm going to restore you, but not for your sake. Not because you are such good people. Not because you have followed after me, but for the sake of my name. I will show my holiness. I will show my greatness. I will show the nations that I am the God who is in control. I am the God who acts. And so for the sake of God's own name, He comes to Israel and washes and cleanses them. In baptism, God is the primary actor. Now, who is active this morning, children? Certainly the parents are active. They brought their son forward. The minister is active. He baptizes the child. But who's the primary actor today? Who's the one controlling all of it? God Himself is the primary actor in baptism. Baptism is not so much something we do. It is something we do in obedience and response to God and what He has done. The promise to forgive our sins. The promise to sprinkle clean water. And we, in obedience to that promise, bring our children forward to be baptized. God is the primary actor. I talk to children about going to the faucet to wash your hands and get the mud off. And you can do that now. But when you were little, before you could reach up and turn the faucet on yourself, mom or dad had to come along and they would take you over to the sink and they would turn the water on and they would put your hands underneath and they would wash your hands. That's what's going on in baptism. God Himself is doing the washing. It's not that we come to Him and say, I want to be clean, look at me now. No, God draws us, God commands us, God brings us there. And He Himself is the primary actor, works the reality. We see the symbol, we see the sign, but God Himself works the reality. And that's why infants too should be baptized. Some suggest infants should not come to the baptism font because they can't do anything. That's exactly the point. We can't do anything. We are lost and fallen and dirty by our sin. Something has to be done to us. And God, as that primary actor, then comes and washes us. We are washed with Christ's blood. We are washed with Christ's Spirit. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in His sacrifice on the cross. God comes to Israel. I will take you from the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. And you will be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. Being cleansed from our sin. And notice what God says, I will cleanse you from all your sin. That's the beautiful picture and promise of being washed in Christ's blood.
that all of our sins are washed away. When we reflect upon our sinful condition, we recognize that there are some bigger sins and some smaller sins. We sometimes categorize them that way. And we say, oh, I know that God can forgive the small sins, and I know He can forgive the little things I've done, but this time I really messed up. I have done something that is such an offense against God that I can't imagine He can forgive me. And then we remember the water of baptism, washed in Christ's blood from all my sins. Even those things that I think are so big and such an offense against God, all of my sins washed away for the sake of Jesus Christ and by His blood. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. Cleansed from idolatry, sins of the heart, placing anything in place of or alongside of the one true God. We've been talking about idolatry in our evening services and Paul's instructions to 1 Corinthians. We'll talk about that again tonight. How often we want something instead of God, beside God. How often we want to follow after our own ways and not God's ways. We put ourselves on the throne. My desires, my wants, rather than God's glory. How easy it is for us to try to be the directors of our lives, the captains of our lives, rather than being captivated by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King. When we recognize that and ask for forgiveness for that, we can be sure that God cleanses us by Christ's blood from all our idols, even our own selfish, sinful nature. We are washed with the blood of Christ. And we are washed with Christ's Spirit. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me, set me apart to be a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that God is at work with us. And He speaks about that in Ezekiel 36 also. Children, being washed in Christ's Spirit is little different than being washed in Christ's blood. You know about Christ's blood being washed away of our sins. But when the Spirit comes, He also does a washing. And that washing includes at least three different things. And children, those things all start with the letter R. I don't do that very often, but today it happens to work out that way. All three things the Spirit does start with the letter R. He works regeneration. He works repentance. And He works renewal. We read in verse 26, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." We are given a new heart. That's rebirth. That's regeneration. That heart of stone that was cold to the things of God is replaced with a heart of flesh when we are washed by the Spirit of Christ. God puts His own Spirit in us. That old man of sin dies and that new man comes to life. That new life begins. We are regenerated. And we have to live that way. Those regenerate lives. And we must teach our children about that regeneration. The children, God has worked in you. He has placed His Spirit in you. And you are to be nurtured in that Christian faith, reminded that God Himself is active. And we saw the fulfillment of that this morning as well in the profession of faith. When someone comes to say, "I recognize what God has done. I have been nurtured in the Christian faith." and now embrace this truth as my own. And the promises of baptism are affirmed and fulfilled in our presence. In baptism, a new heart, a new birth, regeneration. Baptism by the Spirit is a reminder of our call to repentance. Verse 31. 31 says, "Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel." When God's Spirit is at work within us, when we are washed by His Spirit, we see our sin in a whole different way. It must no longer be that which entices us and that which we enjoy, but rather we are to loathe our sin, the prophet says. Loathe yourselves, your iniquities and your abominations. Be ashamed and confounded for your evil ways. And we are to repent of those sins, turn from those sins, change from those sins, because God's Spirit has washed us. His Spirit is at work. Every time we see a baptism, we are reminded that God Himself is at work within us, and we are to repent and change from our evil ways. A call to godly living, a call to holiness, a call to recognize the washing of Christ's Spirit. We are regenerate, we must repent, and we are renewed, restored to a right relationship. Verse 33, "Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, the waste places shall be rebuilt, the land that was desolate shall be tilled, instead of desolation in the sight of all who pass by. They will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited." A renewal. A renewal to the way things are supposed to be. Being washed by Christ's Spirit means that not only do we repent of our sins, but God Himself is renewing us. These desolate places made like the Garden of Eden, restored to its proper and pristine condition. God calls us in our lives to be those who are living holy lives, set apart lives, lives dedicated to Him. We know we fall short of that. We know we are weak. And so God continues in His love and mercy and strengthens us in that renewal. He strengthens us through the other sacrament, through the Lord's table. We will come this morning to take and to eat, to take and to drink the body and blood of Christ. And by God's Spirit, He will strengthen us and continue that renewal process. That we go forward from here recognizing our sin, but also recognizing the work of God's grace and our desire to live for God and our desire to walk in His ways is encouraged and is strengthened as we eat and drink at the table of the Lord. To be washed with Christ's Spirit, to be renewed in our lives, dedicated once again, restored to the way things are supposed to be, a right relationship with our God and our Father. What happened this morning in baptism was no small, cute ceremony that we do for kids. It was a sacrament of the church. It was a means of grace. And God, in His love and mercy, gave all the promises to this little child. And as we see the sacrament, we are reminded of our own baptism. That God has washed us with Christ's blood. You have been forgiven. And God has washed us with Christ's Spirit. You've been regenerated. Therefore, you must repent and come and be renewed, prepared to live that baptized life of one who has all the promises and all the blessings of God. May God continue today to strengthen us by the sacraments, by the signs and seals which He has given. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, how we praise You for Your Word, which instructs us about Your ways with us. We are amazed at Your work in the sacraments, that to those who were weak and frail, to those who were unclean, You, for the glory of Your own name, would come and wash and cleanse. Thank You for giving us the picture of baptism, a washing which only You could accomplish. It does not declare how great we are, God, but how great You are. And You, having washed us and cleansed us, having given us new life, do not leave us on our own. But You continue to work in us and strengthen us. And You give us the Lord's table. O Lord God, truly today, by word and by sacrament, may we be prepared to go out and to serve You more fully and to love You more fully. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.